ingredients for some positive automotive news.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Start with a recession that analysts say is starting to, if ever so slowly, fade. Sprinkle on a little consumer confidence and add a huge, huge helping of clunkers, as in the government's Cash for Clunkers program, and the barrage of people who for the past week or so have been inundating showrooms seeking thousands of dollars off a newer, more fuel-efficient car. It's been so popular, it could run out of money today, unless the U.S. Senate follows the House and passes another $2 billion for the program. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live from our New York bureau to give us the latest. Morning, Jeremy.
Hey, Steve, did you trade in your clunker yet?
Not yet. So where are we in this clunker deal?
Well, as you said, the House passed an extension, and the Obama administration is pushing the Senate to do the same as soon as possible. The Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, was on TV yesterday saying without an extension, the program will be out of money by today. Now, the Senate leaves Washington on Friday for the August recess, so time is of the essence here.
Indeed it is. Why hasn't the Senate acted then, Jeremy?
Well, there are some Republicans in the Senate who think this is an unneeded government intrusion into the auto market, but also there are some Democrats in the Senate who don't think the program goes far enough toward boosting fuel economy. For instance, Steve, right now you can get $3,500 if you trade in your car and get one that only does 4 miles to the gallon better than the old one. You can get $4,500 if you trade in your car for one that gets 10 miles to the gallon better than the old one. So there are a couple of senators who think we can do a little bit better than that.
So this is, Jeremy, already showing up in the Detroit balance sheets, right?
Yeah, well, Ford is going to tell us today about July sales, and they say that in part because of clunkers, they're going to see their first year-over-year sales increase in almost 2 years. And Chrysler, which was offering a $4,500 rebate on top of the government rebate, has had to end that, or is going to end that, because they're running out of cars, Steve.
Wow, who'd have thought? All right, Jeremy Hobson from Marketplace joining us from New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. European bank Barclays today said its first half net profit was up 8% thanks to its investment banking division. HSBC said it had better than expected earnings for its first half, all that giving European shares a boost. Shares in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are higher by more than 1.5% right now. Stocks were mostly up in Asia today, the Nikkei the exception, flat. Stock futures up here at home. On Friday, the S&P 500 was basically flat. The Dow was up under 0.25% to close at 91.71. Over the weekend, Cuban President Raul Castro announced the communist nation will cut spending on education and health care in an effort to revive its sputtering economy. Right now, growing budget deficits and falling exports are pretty much squeezing the island's available cash. From the America's Desk in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Cuba is running low these days on yogurt and spare tires. That's because dairy farms and tire factories in Cuba have cut production due to a shortage of cash. The Lexington Institute's Phil Peters says Cuba's state-run manufacturers can't raise financing in the typical ways.
They don't have access to World Bank credit and the international financial institutions in general. They rely a lot on short-term credit. So in today's credit environment, that hurts them a lot.
Cuba's cash crunch has led it to fall behind on its bills. Earlier this year, the Canadian firm Sherritt, Cuba's largest energy partner, shut down oil drilling on the island because of late payments. That's contributed to the island's energy crisis.
There have been factories that have been closed. There are scheduled power blackouts, and they're being told to conserve energy by turning off air conditioning in the offices in the afternoon.
Cuba has kept afloat with subsidized oil from its ally, Venezuela. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Seems like lately we've gotten one positive bank earnings report after another, and while things may appear to be positive for the big boys, some small financials are having a tough time. SNL Securities reports there are more than 10 banks having difficulties not only in exiting the Troubled Asset Relief Program, but they haven't even been able to pay a penny in dividends. It's one of the topics Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says should be on the radar because we're talking about more than half a billion dollars in TARP money. Alan joins us to talk about it right now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Which banks are these?
Well, I can tell you 18 of them, except you've probably never heard of any of them because there's a report that's listed 18 banks that haven't been able to make the dividend payments on their loans, these TARP loans from the government. And one of these days, after in Washington they stop high-fiving about all the money we taxpayers got from American Express and Goldman Sachs, it's going to begin to dawn on people that there are a whole bunch of these banks that aren't going to pay us back.
What were we expecting to get back from these banks?
Well, what I expected to get back, if there was a miracle, was the full interest these guys had agreed to pay, which was 5% for 5 years, and then getting the principal repaid. Now, in a bunch of cases, it's clear that we're not going to get the principal back.
So, Alan, can we as taxpayers take the same course of action as the banks would take if we were to default on loans?
Oh, no. If you default on a loan, either the bank comes and takes what you borrowed against, or it comes and puts you into bankruptcy or does any number of unpleasant things. But if the bank doesn't pay the Treasury's got certain rights, but having the bank stiff the Treasury is nothing like having you stiff the banks. And maybe the answer is maybe you should borrow from the Treasury next time, Steve.
So, I mean, no collection agents calling. They don't come and repossess your car or whatever the collateral.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they come and pound on the door of the president of the bank at midnight, but somehow I doubt that they do that.
All right. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
My pleasure, Steve.
Share your thoughts with us at our website. Of course, the online host and blogger Scott Jagow is there in the scratch pad at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.